Tonight, I think we're going to make it to verse 16. Philippians 3:16. We've got to get there, though. I think we're in verse 15 right now. We'll make our way to 16. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Before we get started, let's take a moment to get in fellowship. And for us, that means simply to name our sins privately. That's between you and God the Father. And we do that by simply confessing our sins to Him. And we are then cleansed from all unrighteousness and able to grow and apply the Word to our lives. So let's go ahead and take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for everything that You do. We know that You're always here. You're always very aware of what we are doing and what's going on in our lives, and we just need to learn how to stay in tune with that. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all the things that are happening to our church, to our country. We know You're working these things out, even though they may not appear to be that way. We know that to be all in Your purposes. We thank You for everything You're doing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 3, I'll start reading from verse 13. It says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." Verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as are mature, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." So we left off with verse 15. And remember, our word for attitude here was the phroneo down there on the bottom in green. And it mostly had to do with the thinking aspect. So when we think about attitude, we normally don't think about thought. We just think about what we see. Oh, they're in a great mood. They have a good attitude. But we learn that that all starts with the mental attitude. So it starts mentally, and that is what we portray on the outside as well, is what happens on the internal. And the word, you can see, means to think, to give careful consideration to have an attitude based on careful thought. So it's definitely a mental process that happens. And specifically what Paul is talking about here, remember, he's talking about the believers that are growing, that are mature. He says perfect. He uses the Greek word is actually mature here. And he's not just talking about any attitude. He's talking about a divine attitude necessary for the type of believer he's describing, which is, remember, the believer that's pressing on, moving forward in their spiritual life. They're not stagnant. They're moving. They're consistently growing. They're consistently applying. And Christ is to the point in their life where it's becoming so real that it's beyond the physical now for them. So they're making decisions based on the spiritual, based on what's in their soul, and they're glorifying God in that process. So that's what Paul's referring to when he talks about the attitude. And when we do have this attitude, the correct divine attitude, what it does is it directs us to find solutions, to find answers in the right direction. Because otherwise, when we don't have this mentality of consistently staying in the Word, tight with our relationship with Christ, we look for solutions in the physical, in ourselves, or in other people. And that's why this attitude is important, because we know that solutions are only permanent when they're found in the spiritual, in Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. So, and if you remember Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says, keep seeking the things above. And that was the distinction. Remember, the word above was heavenly or heaven. It said, keep seeking the things that are heavenly. And then it said, set your mind on the things above. Again, not on the things that are on the earth. And all that's saying is the same concept. It's just saying that where our priorities lay is where our mind stays during the day. That's how simple that is. So set your mind on the things above. That's in the spiritual realm. So, and all of this relates back to the very, remember, the personal goal that we set for yourselves to actually do that pressing on, to continue to move forward in your relationship. That was a personal goal. Paul had mentioned the goal. Remember the word that was used for, we set our sights, we set our crosshairs on the spiritual things in our lives. And that's what motivates us. That's what motivates us in life. And it motivates us to just drive forward and get to know who is behind these pages of Scripture. And that's exciting because the more we learn, the better life is. The quality of life gets better and better. And who doesn't want a better quality of life? So it is interesting to note that the calling that Paul mentioned here, remember the calling, the upward call in Christ, that our call actually culminates or ends in heaven. So we've been called and we're just making our way to that place, but we're still here and we took a hold of that calling at our salvation. So you were set apart. God set you apart at that point. He said, okay, you became a believer. Now you're a child of God. And that's when your calling in the plan of God as a believer in Jesus Christ began. And that ends, or actually just begins, when you physically die. So we're actually on the road of that calling right now. It's just a matter of growing into that calling and learning as we go so we can better fulfill God's plan for our lives. So the next slide here, and you remember what God does is when we do lose this attitude, because the verse tells us pretty much that we will, it says, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. So the Word of God has a funny way of reminding us where our faults lie, where we need improvement, where we need correction, where we need instruction. And that's where the consistency comes into play. And that's why in order to know these things, for God to even to reveal them to you, guess what that means? It means that we have to be exposed to His Word. Exposure to the teaching, exposure to His Word, to spiritual growth. Because if He's going to reveal it to you, we've got to hear it. We've got to hear it. We've got to hear it from the pages of Scripture, what we need work on. And so that was a factor of that, because the things that God exposes in our lives is actually things that we can't detect. We can't detect, because look what the word means. It means to uncover or reveal what is hidden here. These are only things that God can reveal to us. It's more of a spiritual aspect. And when we see these things, we say, okay, wow, that was from Scripture. That's what that said. I need to work on that. We couldn't think of that on our own, but when we heard a Scripture, sometimes we hear the Word of God in a certain way, and it makes us click. And we say, you know what? You know, yeah, I do need to do that. So that's that part of that revealing what is hidden. And that's because you're consistent in Bible study and your relationship. So, and this is exactly how God directs your life. Just like this. You hear His Word, and we can either choose to accept or reject. And then off of that, we make a change in our thinking. And that's really how God directs your life. Through His Word. through His Word. We make those tiny little adjustments, remember? And through those things, now your life is really in obedience to Him, and you've corrected and you've tweaked, and He's now on put you on His path and not on our own path. But like I said again, you can't consistently make these decisions without exposure to the Word. You've got to have exposure. Got to. Galatians 6:16. And we're going to come across this word in our verse, actually, in Philippians 3:16. Galatians 6:16 says, "And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." So the word for rule here is kanon. That's where we get our English word canon for the Scripture. I know you've all heard this word. It means used as a measuring standard. And originally it was a cane or a reed that was used as a standard of measure. And now we call the Bible the canon because it is our standard of measure. That's what we measure our life by, is the Word of God. That the only absolute truth that we know in this world is from Scripture. So that's what we have to measure. It's our mirror to ourselves. And that's how we can tell where we're at in our spiritual lives. So in a nutshell, that's our measure. So Philippians 3:16, it says, "However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained." So however here, it starts off with however. You know, it seems like that's just kind of thrown in there, but it's not. You remember what Paul was talking about. He was talking about the right Christian attitude that we should have. And when we don't, God will reveal that to us. We understand that part. And then now we come up to a however. Paul's saying, however, all this we understand. Now, however, the fact still remains that you are at a current level in your spiritual growth. And he's saying you still need to maintain that. You still have to hold fast to the level which you have come up to in your spiritual life. Whether you have the right attitude or whether you don't. He's saying, hold fast to the same amount of the level of growth that you've come up to. This can also be translated your Christian walk, the spiritual walk, which we know isn't just any walk. It's a very specific way to live your life. So the first word we have is living, or actually, did I not give you that one? No, I didn't. Huh. Well, I'll explain it to you. The word is to walk by a rule. It means to walk in line or to walk while keeping spiritual straightness to your walk. So it means in strict accordance to a particular pace, a stride, or to walk in cadence, to keep in step. So when you relate this to your spiritual life, that's kind of what we do. We're on a cadence. We stay in step. We try to stay on pace. And we don't want to revert, Paul's saying. Don't slow down in your pace. Don't stop. Don't be distracted. He's saying, let us keep living by that same standard to which you have attained. And that attainment is something, remember, that's already happened. This is something basically that you have right now, but you don't want to lose it. You don't want to, because remember, you're either going one way or the other in the spiritual life. You're either advancing or you're retreating. There is no staying still in the spiritual life. And we've heard that, we know that, but at the same time, sometimes when we get a little bit maybe comfortable, maybe the circumstances are going good, we kind of tend to pull back on our relationship with Christ. Our spiritual life kind of slacks. When things get bad, oh, here we come again. We go back to that relationship. So when things are good, we have a tendency to lose that attainment to which we have attained because we're not consistent in our exposure. That could be part of it. Or the other part of that is we're not consistent in our application of God's word in our life. We're consistently exposing ourselves, but when it comes to applying it, there's something that's lacking there. So that's the living. It's walking in a spiritual cadence in your life to walk the line. Some of you are thinking about a Johnny Cash song. That's what I thought of, honestly, when I heard that. And if you listen to the lyrics of that, he is actually kind of referring to what we're talking about. He says, I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. He's referring to being faithful. He's referring to moral values that he's trying to stay close to. And that's the same word. See, I could have named his song for him, called it this Greek word, stoicheo. I don't think it would have sold as many copies, but it's the same idea here. It's to walk or to stay in a line in your spiritual life. And that means that takes your willpower. It takes your willpower. It's not going to be anybody else's. It could be someone else motivating you. But at the end of the day, it takes you as a believer in Jesus Christ to say, hey, I'm losing a little bit of traction on that line where I was, and I need to get back up to that level. And I need to try to maintain that. So, and we can tell, you know, when we slip away from that standard that we were at, maybe last week or maybe yesterday. And that's really what the Christian life is. It involves living a set of divine values in our life, principles. And part of that means part of maintaining step or maintaining a cadence, a rhythm in your spiritual life means being on guard, being resilient to anything that might remove, that might slow you down from that, that might distract you in certain ways from that. We've got to have our ears and our eyes open when it comes to things that could take us away from this, the spiritual aspect of your life. And they aren't always very easy to see. That's why I wanted to mention it, because they can be very subtle in nature. Very, very subtle. So ultimately, the root that will drive you forward is you, as a believer, having a desire to know the truth. That's positive volition. That's you being positive and having a desire to get to know your Savior. Who is He? So that takes a desire to know what's going on and what is this life about? What is God's plan for my life? Because I know that there are plenty of things that can distract us. I mean, we live in Satan's world. That's what the goal is of Satan and everyone that is against God, and at sometimes even ourselves. We can be a distraction to ourselves because we too have a sin nature just like every other human being on the face of the earth. So to be on guard also means to be on guard against yourself. That's important. And this reminded me of when I said spiritual cadence. It reminded me of, and I think every branch of the military sings cadence when they march. I think that's pretty much a given, yeah. And I used to enjoy listening to it and hearing it because it kind of breaks up the monotony. You're out there sweating, you're hot, and you have someone singing cadence, singing a song, and you can repeat something back. And it's just a good sound. And it's motivating, and it allows you to want to go forward. It allows you to be motivated when you're not. Because when you hear other people's voices, when you hear other people marching in the same direction, you want to march. Even though you're tired, you say, well, everybody else is tired. And that's our cadence as believers in Jesus Christ. Guess what? We're all growing. We're all on step. We're all moving in the right direction. And at the same time of that, we all have different things going on in our lives. Some big, some small, some painful, some not. But there are difficult circumstances in everyone's lives. That is a fact. That is a fact of this life. So remember this cadence, because we have to be motivated in a way that we were all moving forward. And we're all moving forward by listening to the sound of biblical teaching. And that's motivating to me. I don't know about y'all, but I will sing cadence to you till I die. I don't mind doing that a bit. So, and cadence had a few purposes. Like I said, the main one was to keep you in step and moving forward. And that brings up the point of, that's why repetition in your spiritual life is so important. Because when you're marching, the repetition of a voice helps you to just keep step. To just keep step. You can almost close your eyes and just walk because of the sound of the voice. And when you're consistent in your spiritual life, you can almost get in a cadence, in a rhythm, to where everything else really doesn't matter. All that matters is staying in step of your spiritual life. And that's where we all need to be. I know that's where I need to be, and that's where you need to be as believers, to have a cadence, have a rhythm. And that's what really is motivating, because that's when you see the real change. It's not the inconsistency that brings change. It's the consistency. It's noticing the details of what God is doing in your life. How is He changing your thinking? How is He changing the circumstances around you? Remember, part of the fun of this is we're watching God work things out in our life. You are watching things happen on your behalf, in your circumstances and problems, and that takes rhythm. That takes cadence, and all that means is that means a faithful believer. The rhythm that you make is from being faithful, or the rhythm that you keep in step with means that you are faithful. So, and because of this, this repetition or this consistency in your spiritual life is actually a means of protection for you. That can protect you from many, many things that you aren't even aware of. And I might add that there are times when you won't want to stay in step. You won't want to stay in a rhythm. But do it anyways. Do it anyways. Because that's a built-in protection that God has built in, that, remember, He honors faithfulness. What are you doing when you do that? You're rejecting your own desire and you're honoring the desire of God, because you're saying, I want to honor Him. And even though I don't want to do this, I'm going to do it anyways. That's a rhythm. That's staying in a step that is unbeatable right there. So, cadence, as I said, is motivating, and it lifts morale to get you to the finish or the destination. That's where we're headed. That's what Paul has been talking about. Pressing on, getting to that next hump in the spiritual life, and then moving on to the next one. Just because Paul is here at the end stages of his life, the last couple years, doesn't mean that we are reaching a goal in our lives. Just because you have reached a goal, guess what? You go on to the next goal. God is going to continue to grow and expand and stretch you. So when you get to that goal, keep going. Keep going. And you'll have the morale, you'll have the motivation, because you're seeing things move. You're seeing your destination become closer to you. So to live in accordance to a spiritual cadence And then he says, which we have attained. And part of being imperfect people is that not only will there always be things in life that attempt at slowing you down, slowing down your spiritual tempo, but, and I mentioned this earlier, we can really be our own worst enemies. Because we can ignore what you actually have attained. You don't put much credit into what you build up spiritually, but I want to tell you that is very, very important. That consistency in your spiritual life can hit waves very easily. We are sensitive as human beings. One decision, one wrong decision in our spiritual life can throw ripples into your, affect your rhythm in your spiritual life. It can. And it does. One little thing. One wrong person, one test from a people test in your life that you failed can cause a ripple effect. And we know this. That's 99% of our problems, our tests from God, are people. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just the reality of where we live and who we live with. So God can't test you with a tree unless you get hit by one. Well, that can happen too. But the majority of your tests will be from people. And that's why verse 15 tells us that God will help us in this area when we get off track. Remember that? He said he would expose the hidden things. He's here to help. He's here to correct. He's here to guide. So even though we may get off track, we may fail a test, we may come in here with our tail between our legs, God will still show you something and allow you to get a little correction, a little more motivation, and leave here with a breath of fresh air. So that's that built-in correction. That's that built-in protection for you as believers in Christ. And that's important because I know as well as you do, getting up and coming somewhere and learning, no matter what it is, the winner, what the subject is, sometimes isn't always the easiest thing to do. Especially if you had a hard day, you had a long day, you had a lot going on, and it's at the end of the day. So I get it. I really do get it. So part of God exposing these hidden things to us through his word means that there must be some things that we don't like or that we need to correct or get better at or have a change of attitude in or be further developed in. Do you get the point? That's part of it. That's just part of it. And if you can get used to that, you've got it whipped. Because there's a lot of people that will hear something from the Word of God and they won't like it. And because of that, they will leave. And it's sad to me. I used to see this in the prison a lot because what happens is they're missing out. They're withholding from themselves because it's something that the Word of God was trying to help them to correct themselves and benefit themselves in some way. And it hit them the wrong way, and that was it. They're gone. And if you can get over that, and really that's really kind of a pride and arrogance thing, and we all have some of that. But the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because it can be an issue. It can be an issue. Because the Word of God is going to tell it like it is. And that's what we love about it. That's why we want to hear it, because it's truth. I want to hear what's going on. I'm that bad. Yes, that's right. Okay, tell it like it is. That's the way it goes. And that's what I like, and that's what you like. We like the truth. That's why we're here. But there's things in it that are going to make us think. Make us think. That's what it's designed to do. Actually, to change thinking. So don't get offended. And there's a news alert here that if the Word of God is taught faithfully and accurately, then it will step on your toes. It's got to. It has to step on your toes. I don't really like to step on anybody's toes, but I'm not here to go around Scripture that might step on your toes. I've just got to tell it like it is. And part of that means there's going to be a slight change in your thinking. It's just a matter. See, it's all about reception. It's all about how it's received. It's about hearing. We can hear it, and we can just reject that. And that's fair. That's what God gave us, free volition. He gave us free will. We can hear the Word, and we can reject it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But in order to receive the Word constructively and have it applied in your life, it must be accepted. It must be accepted. I can't tell you how many times I've been beat over the head with it. But it's all for my own benefit. God just wants to help us. He just wants to see us along, and He's got to show us in a certain way. The only way to show you is by telling you. That's it. I'm not down there grabbing you by the neck. Thank goodness, right? I'd be in jail. But God allowed words to come through to allow us to grow through words. And that's just the way it goes. And as a positive advancing believer, we should really have a desire to have our toes stepped on. We should. We all should. If we know where we're at, we know our state, we know we're a sinner, we know we're going to fail, we know we need to get better, that's in Scripture. It's a maturing process, remember? You should have a desire to get your toes stepped on. To grow, in order to grow, guess what? You need to be developed. And if there's no pain, if there's no suffering, if there's no being upset, you're not growing. You're not growing. If it's too easy, you're not growing. It's got to be a little bit of constraint on you as a spiritual believer. So we should have that desire, because that gives us an opportunity to make those corrections. That's just an opportunity to make corrections in your life. So, and all that means, that's part of the goal, is conforming to the image of Christ. So that's not a problem to get offended. And part of this process means that the receiving part of it versus rejecting includes humility. It includes humility. Because remember, there is two kinds of righteousnesses. There's God's righteousness, and then there's self-righteousness. And my righteousness knows it all, thinks it's better than everything else. You can't tell me anything. I knew that. You get the point? So when we hear truth, you've got to make a decision. Do we accept or do we reject? And when we reject, it goes back to that self-righteous thing. And that's all that is. So, but all this is really rooted in the Word of God. There's a lot of different reasons why people... It's always interesting to me here why people what they're looking for in their life when it comes to spiritual things. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with anybody. You just ask them, well, what are you looking for? You know, what are you desiring? And you get a bunch of different answers. And when it has to do with the church, here's what I mostly hear. A younger crowd, more people, a nicer pastor, more church programs, a bigger choir, nicer people, location, better location, a better primary or prep school, a bigger church. Did you notice anything that was missing out of that? Bible teaching. What about teaching the Word of God? That should be our... all these things are good. There's nothing wrong with these things. But if you're missing that, you're missing the boat. I mean, I would love to have these things. I don't know how nice I can be, but I can be sort of nice sometimes. But you get the point. If we're looking for truth, God honors that. God honors that. We have to look for it, though. You got to want it. And then it says, keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. I actually remembered that one. I skipped the last one. That's a verb. Pathano is the word, or phathano. And it means to come to or arrive at a particular state. So, and the obvious idea here is to maintaining spiritual position and not retreating. So that's what Paul is referring to here. Maintaining a position. And I already mentioned, these are things that you've already come through. These are the spiritual things that you've learned. You've already applied certain in your life and tests that you've passed. You've grown to this point and you've reached this spot. Okay? So once the Word of God sets your new standard, because you've corrected, you've tweaked it, and you remember, you're never standing still. So after today, we'll all be changed. And Paul is saying, maintain that. Maintain that, what you have gained. Don't, because remember, it says arrive at a particular state. We're talking spiritual things, a spiritual state. This is the spiritual life, and it has to do with state. It has to do with a growth process. Where are you at right now? Not where you were 5 years ago. That's a process. We don't want to revert back to that. We want to maintain, hold the line. So, one thing to keep in mind here is that holding the divine or a divine standard means that you must hold it alone. And I've already mentioned that before, but it's important because 98 or 99% of the people you come in contact with outside of the church have a different standard than you do. If you are positive, if you are growing spiritually, 98% of the people in the world aren't on the same page as you. They don't have the same priorities as you. They're not motivated by the same things as you. And what does that mean? It means that you can't rely on them for your motivation to continue forward. For that cadence in your life, you can't do it. You cannot do it. Because they may like you, they may know you very well, but they don't care if you lose that cadence. They don't care if you lose that momentum. They don't care if you revert back to where you used to be, that fun person. They would love to see you go back to that. They don't care about your spiritual life. And those are the things that we need to be aware of, because guess what? That's most important in our lives. That's the most important thing. But, and I don't mean to say that like that's what they're going for. They're not thinking about that. They're not thinking about that. And when you don't think about it, you don't have you're not geared, or you're not like-minded. Being around people that are not like-minded tends to take you away from the mindset that you have. You can only maintain for so long before you start to either revert, get offline, get off track. So company is important. Who do you have around you? Is it always negative? Is it always people that that bring you down? And we have to be around different kinds of people. I'm not saying don't, but you have to be careful. How do they affect you? How do they affect your thinking? Because those things very easily rub off on us. And part of that means who do we respond to? Who are we responding to, people? Or are you responding to what's in your soul? There's only two things to respond to: people or truth. That's it. That's absolutely it. Of course, one is contentment. One is what? Turmoil. Depending on who you respond to or what you respond to. And because Paul is writing about these things, he's obviously seeing these people who are not attaining. He wouldn't mention this if this wasn't an issue in the Philippians church. There's people that are apparently slipping back. He got their eyes on things and people. And they've officially turned their back on God, as we'll see in some upcoming verses. So there's a lot of attractive things in this world, but I can assure you that maintaining your advance is more important than anything this world can offer you. It is more important. And the more you grow, the more of a reality and the more of an important thing that will become in your life. You don't want to backtrack. You don't want to lose what you've gained because it's eternal in nature. We're talking about spiritual things. I'm not talking about the deal you passed up or what you could have had. We're talking about things that last for eternity. Eternity. That's important. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So the first word is brothers. And this is just the plural form to refer to fellow Christians. This doesn't mean simply male brothers, although it can refer to that. In this context, it refers to fellow Christians. Yeah, I think even the NET translation says brothers and sisters. And then you have the word, actually there's multiple English words here for one Greek word. Join in following my example. That's one Greek word. You see it on the bottom. It's in blue. It's actually a compound word. You see the soon on the front. That means with or together with. And then you see the memetes. That means imitator. So this word is a joint imitator or imitating with others. And then Paul says of me. So he's referring to himself here. He's saying imitate with others of me. Be fellow imitators of me. And this isn't a new concept for Paul. Remember, there's a few verses he said this in. 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says, therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, just as I, and here's the key, also am of Christ. You could say, wow, Paul is sure, he's pretty confident in himself. He's getting a little overboard there. Well, look what it said. Just as I am also of Christ. There is something to say about your growth, about your confident level, your confidence in life. And we're going to look at this. So this is positive imitation that arises. This is part of this definition. Positive imitation that arises by admiring the pattern set by someone worthy of emulation. That's Paul right here. He's a growing, consistent, steady believer. Does that mean he doesn't fail? No, not at all. He's human. But he's consistent. He's making decisions in the right direction. So he's worthy of emulation. And this brings up the fact that Paul is leading by example. He's leading by example is what he's doing here. And this is what we've been studying since we are looking at what Paul's writing. We're studying not only Paul's personal growth. Remember, he's writing the words of God. So we're seeing what he's writing on the pages, what God wants us to know. And we're also seeing what's going on in Paul's life. Because he's telling us, I'm pressing on. He's telling us his attitude. There's a double thing going on here. There's a divine and there's a human aspect to this because God's words must come through the human author. That's just God working out the details. In Paul's life, Paul's writing about his life, and it's the word of God at the same time. Go figure. Only God can do that. So, we've seen Paul's personal growth and growing in his relationship in Christ. And what are we able to do because of that? Follow his example, just as he's telling us to do. We've been applying, we've been studying the Word of God, and we know this is the Word of God, but look who's writing it. We can follow Paul just as well because we know he is applying accordingly. So 1 Corinthians 11:1, already said that. Be imitators of me. So there's a huge difference here in leading by example and leading in pride or arrogance, or leading by simply talking about it. There's a big difference. Remember, Paul is not only writing these words, he's living them. He is actually living them. You know, what's the phrase? I've said it, do what I say and not what I do. That's not Paul. He's not only writing about it, but he's doing it. And he's doing it up here first, and it's coming out in his life, in his what he's doing, in his deeds, in his good works, and he's consistently, steadily glorifying God in the process. That's an example. And because he sees all these changes, and this applies to us too, you see changes in your life. You see circumstances change. You see your thinking change. And because of that, what happens? Your confidence changes. Paul is confident in himself, not because of himself, but because of the source of where his confidence is found. In Jesus Christ. In the Word of God. That's where your confidence comes from. In the Word of God. That doesn't make him arrogant. It's just a life dedicated to Christ leads to confidence. That's all there is to it. If you can say someone can, you can set an example to other people, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because you know who your example is. It's not you. It's the Word. It's the spiritual. It's the whole reason you can even survive and have a positive mental attitude on this earth. It's because of your example, and that's Jesus Christ. So, and that's a good place to stop, but next time we'll get into 2 Corinthians 1:12, and we won't stay in it for long, but I want to read it, at least read through it, and then we'll close in prayer. It says, "For our proud confidence is this," and that's a good word, proud confidence, in this context. It says, "The testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially towards you." Well, there it is. This is specifically referring to that example we were just talking about right here. How we can be confident and where our confidence is really rooted in. So next time we'll take a look at this. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for opening your word up to us and allowing us to see the details, to see what we need to know. And it's always so timely in our lives. We know that you have an absolute purpose that you've thought of long before we got here. And we're just trying to catch you. And we just want to maintain that pace, maintain that rhythm in our spiritual life. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, because your word tells us that those who believe in the Son have life, but those who do not believe in the Son do not have life, but the wrath of God abides on them. And all that means is that we are eternally separated from God by sin. And in order for God to correct that and allow us back into his realm, into a relationship with him, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And he made that freely available. He said, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. There's no maybe. There's no doing something for salvation. It's simply faith in Christ. We thank you so much for that gift. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.